Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are concluding our study of the book of Acts. We're in chapter 28, beginning in verse 11. So I ask you to open your Bibles to Acts 28, beginning in verse 11 and reading through the end of the chapter and the end of the book. This is God's word. "After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rigium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, 'My brothers, although I've done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain.' They replied, 'We've not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect.' They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: 'The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Let me make just a couple of minor points before we get to the heart of the message. First of all, Paul, you'll recall, was on the island where he was, Malta, because of a horrible shipwreck. And so when it was time to go on to Rome, he didn't say, can we please go by land? I don't ever want to be on a ship again. Paul didn't have a vote, but whereas previously he had tried to warn them, this journey is not going to end well. There's going to be a disaster if we get on this boat and go at this time. He didn't say that this time, because his life was not governed by fear. He knew that God had said he was going to make it to Rome. And so without fear, he gets on this boat. I want to add another little point here. The boat that he got on was an Alexandrian ship, and it had the twin gods. Gods? Yeah, false gods. Demon gods. Idols. It had the false gods of Castor and Pollux carved as the symbol on the front of the ship. I mean, you know, you got Castor and Pollux, and they're there. Paul didn't say, as some people in our evangelical culture would say, I can't get on a ship that has those gods on there. I don't believe in idols, and this would be a bad thing if I got on that boat. I think it would go badly. Paul was not afraid. Why? Because as God says through Paul elsewhere, idols are nothing. There are demons behind the idol. It's not that we should have idols in our home. But don't be afraid of something that ultimately amounts to nothing, because what we're going to focus on here is the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, Paul gets on the boat, he goes to Rome, and along the way he meets some other brothers. And they say, spend a week with us. And they do. And then eventually he gets to Rome, and when he gets there, believers from Rome come out a journey to see him. This location where they showed up is not in the suburbs. It was further away from Rome. But they had heard Paul was coming, and so they got together and said, let's go meet him and welcome him. And Paul saw them and was encouraged, it says. So it's A, legit for us to try and encourage others by putting ourselves out, and it is legit for us to be encouraged when other believers come alongside us and show the love of Christ. Now, the focus here, after Paul welcomes the Jewish community to his house, the Jewish leaders, he then begins to try and tell them about what? Not all about his saga, but about the kingdom of God. The message today is about declaring the kingdom of God, because that's what Paul was doing. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Look at the last verse in this book. Boldly, verse 31, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me.
Eons ago, when I was college age, there was considerable controversy among certain so-called evangelicals as to whether or not when we present the gospel, we're only supposed to tell people to believe in Jesus as their Savior, or whether we need to encourage people to surrender their lives to the Lord, Jesus Christ. John MacArthur wrote a book in the 1980s, but he wasn't the first one to bring this subject up. My brother-in-law, Cliff Connectly, had people in the early days of his ministry who came from certain schools who stood up and warned people that what this guy from InterVarsity Christian Fellowship was preaching was a false gospel, because he was calling them to repent and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And these folks felt that that was heresy, because the head of systematic theology at a seminary in Dallas, Texas, had written in the Bible study book, great study Bible, Ryrie's study Bible, tons of great notes. But his section on salvation, he warns against this notion that you must receive Jesus as Lord. Of course, Jesus is Lord. That means that he is God incarnate. But the idea that you must receive him as your master in order to receive salvation, that is a heresy. That is worked salvation. Well, you can't have it both ways. When I was on Cape Cod as a pastor, there was a lovely tract. Art DeMoss, who was an insurance executive, had shared his testimony often and encouraged people to trust in Christ. And a tract society, also in Texas, but not related to the seminary, a tract society had turned it into a very nice, appealing presentation of the gospel. But on the back of the tract, it shared how to receive Jesus. And there was nothing about repentance and nothing about Jesus being Lord. It was all about believing that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. If you believe that, you're in. Okay? Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died to pay for your sins. Ask him to save you. You're in. Well, that'll get a lot of people to say, sure. But that's not the gospel according to Jesus, to use MacArthur's phrase. And by the way, no, I don't agree with MacArthur on everything either. But here's the thing. Either Jesus Christ is Lord or he's not. Well, we all agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. Good. Either receiving Jesus includes receiving him as your Lord or it doesn't. What you find in the New Testament is that it consistently does. Even the thief on the cross said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. He didn't understand all about soteriology, but he knew that somehow not only was Jesus not the one who deserved to die like this, but he still believed Jesus was going to be the one who inherits the kingdom. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. A lot of us believe it's very important for folks to be born again because Jesus said so. John chapter 3. You must be born again in order to what? To see the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of God. The goal is not new birth. The goal is to be in right relationship with the king. And you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of the Spirit. By the way, I wrote to that tract society and I asked them if at our own expense we could have copies made of the tract that would say that you need to repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And they wrote back and said, absolutely not. So we didn't use that tract. Because I don't believe in bait and switch. And I think when it comes to the gospel, it's very important that we get it the way the Bible does. And the way the Bible does is to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you need to repent and believe the good news. The good news is that the one who is the King is offering forgiveness and new life to those who come to him. Not just for forgiveness, but for new life. We don't just need to be forgiven and stay dead in trespasses and sins. We need to be, as Pastor Pat read earlier, made new, given salvation, which is more than forgiveness. It is the life of God now in us. So, it's not the kingdom of God, which every week here we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not about geography, it's about relationship. A relationship with the one who is Lord. And if he is Lord, that means he's the master. He's the ruler. He's the boss. He's the owner. He's in charge. So are you saying you have to clean up your life before you can be born again? Absolutely not. You and I are powerless to do that. God's forgiveness is for those who put their trust in him. But when you put your trust in him, you put your trust in him. You don't just say, I'll take an order of forgiveness and I'd like peace and joy on the side and obedience. No, I don't like obedience. I'll leave that off my order, please. I always, when I order fast food, which I try not to do very often, but when I order fast food, I tell them on my burger, I don't want the onions and I don't want the pickle, which for one thing means that I get a fresh-made burger. Learned that long ago. But I don't want certain ingredients. Let me tell you, if you know that you are dying, that you're under the wrath of God and that you need forgiveness, but you want to come to Jesus and say, look, I just want the forgiveness part, okay? Is that all right? That's not offered in the scriptures. That's not new life in Christ. That's the old life without penalties. That's not the gospel. That's not salvation. That's not the kingdom of God. Matthew 28:18. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus didn't say, go and baptize them and tell them they're on their way to heaven. And if they'd like to have a more fulfilling life, they probably ought to observe as much as possible the things that I've commanded. No, Jesus didn't suggest them. He commanded them. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Why? Because he's the boss. He's the king. He's the ruler. He's in charge. And so Paul, from morning to night, is preaching about the kingdom. And 2 years that follow, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the king, the Lord, Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. That's what our lives are supposed to be about. As a result, If we're going to do evangelism effectively, if we're going to do it God's way, we need to be calling people to repentance and telling them the good news that the one who is king is offering full forgiveness, complete forgiveness, and the power to live a new life. That's the message we're supposed to bring. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I want to say that again. Please understand, this is what salvation looks like. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. You want to know what it looks like to receive it in vain? Look at the beginning of the next chapter. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. If you receive him, not just forgiveness, you receive him, he not only forgives you, but he gives you the power to be being changed. We don't have this instantaneous perfection. Would that we did. But God has chosen instead a process by which we're being changed from the inside out. And thank God, he has promised that he will carry that on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And that, as it says in 1 John, when we see him face to face, we will be like him. How's that going to happen? Well, because he's in the process of making us like him. That's Christianity. Christianity is not just believe this, believe this, believe this, and you're in. No. If Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is Lord, if every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they will, then those of us who know him are supposed to be demonstrating that right now by living a life of obedience to him. Always, always seek to obey him. Don't just give in to your thoughts and desires in the moment. Take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. That's what Scripture commands.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.